we're back. Episode 15, Rob.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, it's an exciting number.
It's exciting.
For today's chat, thought it might be interesting for us to talk about dream clients, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Dream clients, dream projects, dream industries, whatever the dream might be, right?
Right.
And I think, as you mentioned before we started recording, this could go a lot of different directions.
Yeah. Right?
Sort of free-form conversation about what gets us excited or things we enjoy or just the concept of, dream clients. I don't know. What does that mean to you when you think about it?
My dream client would be sleep number beds.
Well, all the
Sorry,
NFL.
That was awful.
All the horrible. NFL players evidently are sponsored. But you ever notice that? That's like a legit NFL sponsorship is sleep numbers. Yeah, they all get sleep numbers. So
14.
14 what?
That's my sleep number.
Oh, I have no idea what my sleep number is. I don't even know how it works. So.
All right. Dream clients. So I guess my first thought when we were talking about it, was to me, if I think about it in terms of, not necessarily what we're working on from a category standpoint,
sure,
or a product standpoint or a service standpoint, but I thought about it, the type of client, the type of person that I enjoy working with or that we enjoy working with.
Yeah.
And we've alluded to this before in another podcast, but you know, the idea that doctors are the worst patients, you wouldn't, represent yourself in a court of law.
Correct.
All of these ideas, to me, dream clients are the ones that trust us to do our jobs.
Yes.
And that believe in our expertise and appreciate our efforts and creativity and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And understand and trust that we know how to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, are we allowed to name names here? Can we name drop somebody or do we want to keep it anonymous? What do you think?
You do you.
Because the first thing that comes to mind, obviously, for me is Dr. Rosbacher when we were working on all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And the direct quote, I say direct quote, but now through the memory filter, I've probably bastardized it, is I remember we were doing a presentation for her and we are talking specifically about higher ed, right? One of the local universities in town, right? We're doing a big recruitment campaign for them and things like that. And I believe something along the lines of, I don't really get it, but I know it works, right? Something like, right? It was like, but she recognized it wasn't for her.
Right.
She's not a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old.
High school,
student who's really good at math, right? Who's thinking about engineering or whatever, right? So it was, hey, I often see the billboards. I often see this, and I don't really understand it. But it's not for me, and I know it works. And it was, I don't know. It was something along those lines. And it was like, oh my God, this is amazing recognition.
Yeah.
Like, even though you are the client, the work is not actually for you. It's for your target audience.
Right.
So that I always thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that's it. Those are the fun ones.
Yeah.
And also we talked about too, if people get a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
When they're nervous and when they're not afraid to go, this makes me nervous.
Yeah.
And say that.
Yeah.
Followed immediately by, but I trust what you guys are doing.
And yeah.
Trust you to do it. So I sort of came at it that way. And we have a lot of those clients.
Yeah, we do have a lot of highly educated, super smart clients that keep us on our toes.
And and the ones that don't, we don't really keep around.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes.
Yeah,
they come and they go, but
yeah. Well, it's good to be challenged and it's good to have those intellectual debates about strategy and whatnot, but it's also great to be recognized that, hey, when it comes to branding, advertising, whatever, we are subject matter experts, right? And we do have the credentials and the experience to know what we're talking about and to bring that point of view and position as to why this works or why the answer to this communication objective, this is the correct one, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's balanced out with, and we say this to clients all the time, we're really good at what we do, but nobody knows your business better than you.
Yeah.
Ooh, and that rhymed.
Ooh. Put it on a t-shirt.
But it's important to note that like we're not coming in and saying, hey, we get it. We know everything there is to know. Nobody knows your business better than you do.
Sure.
But it's that, hey, once you give us the knowledge and tell us what we need to know, then that's when, the trust is handed over.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's think about dream clients from a different perspective. If you could work on, I'm going to put you in the hot seat.
Uh-oh.
If you could work on any single brand or product or service, what would, not knowing anything about their marketing department or people or personalities or anything like that, but just one brand, product or service that you would love to work on, what would it be?
I'm going to stay true to form, and I would probably say a sports league another creative industry. And you said that doctors are their own worst patients, right? So I would pick probably Marvel Comics or DC Comics or one of those type of lines, you know? I think the ideation... What, you're giving me funny faces.
Well, that's like saying I would work on Chevy and Ford.
Oh, well, I'm saying one or the other. We obviously couldn't work on both. I'd probably work on DC because they're in a much worse state of affairs right now. I mean, personally, you know, I'm more of a Marvel zombie and definitely more of a Marvel Comics fan, right? But I think DC is in more distress. So it actually might be more of an interesting creative challenge to bring it back, you know? Okay, and I think fans in that industry, and I'm super down the nerd cave right now, though, have an appreciation for both. It's not like there is an exclusivity, like I would only drive a Chevy and I will never drive a Ford, right? I mean, there is, you know, and creative teams hop from side to side. I mean, even on the entertainment side, James Gunn, the director of a lot of Marvel movies, is now heading up DC, right? So, I mean, talent flip-flops from the television movie side all the way down to literally the publisher side and comic book side. So I think the concept of advertising and branding creativity is pretty fun. The House of Ideas is what Marvel's tagline's kind of unofficially been for years and years, right? So I think that could be super fun to work on.
Well, you mentioned sports teams. So NFL, you've worked on that.
I have worked on NFL branding.
So give us a couple of those little stories and tell us what you did.
Yeah, this goes a few ways back, but as I've mentioned on the podcast, I think before, I'm from San Francisco, big 49er fan, right? And I always joked that I would never work on the 49ers because I don't think you could work. That's too close to home, right? But I did have some branding experience working with the Miami Dolphins and then also the San Diego Chargers. So a lot of people don't know this, but the San Diego Chargers, their original 1960s logo actually has a horse in it. It was a shield.
Really?
And it has a horse and a lightning bolt, right? Yeah. But now, but at the time, we got the Broncos, we got the Colts, we got the Chargers, which has a horse, you know, so they kind of abandoned the horse in favor of the electricity and the lightning bolt.
All lightning bolt, right?
But therein lied the challenge and the problem that I was hired to help solve, which was their merchandise is kind of lacking. Because it's only that little curved...
The lightning
bolt from the helmet. There's nothing else there, right? So it was, hey, the challenge was, can we go back to our roots? Can we do some fun stuff and develop, you know, and do we bring the horse back, right? I mean, do we bring that sort of... So did a lot of design, logo, brand work, right? Around the exploration of the horse being brought back and things like that. So that was one initiative. The other one was working on the Dolphins. This was... they still had the 1995 logo, so they've rebranded since. But there was two different design paths. There was, hey, one, do we go back to the simplified 1970s perfect season lino cut version of the Dolphin, right?
Right.
That didn't necessarily. It was very simple. And then, or do we go future forward, which is kind of where they ended up now, which is with a very streamlined, simplified Dolphin. And I don't want to get too down in the weeds, but the 90s version of the Miami Dolphins logo, very awkward. I mean, it has the helmet on it, has an M on it, is like, in some instances, holding a football. It's very weird, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of like sort of cleaning up and simplifying the brand mark and things like that. So sports leagues, lots of fun to work on, you know? But I think that was more from a design perspective. I think dream client now wouldn't necessarily only be identity and branding. I think it's also about, you know, sort of community and getting season ticket. You know what I mean? What's the tagline for the team? What's the vibe of the team?
Right.
What's the advertising communication of the team? It's more than just the mark.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think in recent local sports, you know, history, I think we would both agree that as big founding members of Atlanta United, the MLS soccer team here locally, shout out to whoever did all of that identity development, because they've done an amazing job, not just of creating the mark and all of the materials around it, but I think you talk about experience, the fan experience.
The game day experience?
Well, not just that, but I mean, just even the communications experience from day one, when they first, you know, however many years ago, first announced that we were getting a team.
Yeah.
The build up to when we actually played, because I think it was 2 years or a year and a half before anybody ever stepped foot on a pitch. But I think in general, that was a really great case study of how to build a sports franchise from the ground up.
Totally.
All the way across the...
Incredibly successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as, shout out to
They're, top 10 in terms of fan attendance, like worldwide and whatnot.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it's pretty incredible what they've done.
Pretty incredible.
All right. That's cool. Well, let's flip the script. You put me on the hot seat. I mean, what is your answer to the concept of dream, service, brand, client, industry, whatever the case may be, right? What comes to your mind?
So I would say I would pick sort of an outdoor recreation company brand, I think, just because I enjoy that type of thing, being outside and doing all that stuff. I mean, I look at, you know, companies like an REI. I think that would be a great client to have. I know that's all internally done. But they do great work. And that's cool, I think, an opportunity like that, because you have not only sort of the retail experience, but then you have the travel experience. Yeah. There's so many different things that they do. And I think that would be a really fun client to work on. Because that also crosses skiing and hiking and fishing.
Yeah.
And, you know, all
oh, yeah. Biking, things. Canoeing, all sorts of crazy
stuff. Yeah. I think that would be, I think that would be a super fun one to work on probably.
Yeah. I can see the gears are still turning in terms of what
else
to
do. Thinking here's in a way, and I'm trying to figure out how to, we're working on a couple of projects right now with some, marijuana companies.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
As, many states, not ours, but many states are legalizing across the country. It's an interesting study in companies. It's still the Wild West, very much so. It's sort of calming down and people are staking their territories and starting to figure it out. But it's still a race. Who's going to be the big national brand?
Yeah, coast to coast.
Coast to coast brand.
Yeah.
And companies are making headway there. But again, it's still very much...
it's fragmented.
It's fragmented. It's an odd industry because of the local laws versus the federal laws.
Sure.
But to me, we're working on a couple of projects around that right now that are super, super fun because it's wide open. I mean, from a creative standpoint,
it's wide open spaces.
Kind of wide open.
Yeah.
And almost, it almost gives you license to be kind of wacky.
Yeah.
Which is fun. So that's a pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool thing to work on, I think.
Yeah, it is pretty fun. It's going to be interesting to find out who ends up being that coast-to-coast national sort of brand, right? Because there's a lot of flavor triggers that are from state to state and a lot of strains, varieties that people are familiar with, right? But that doesn't necessarily promote consistency. Like when you buy, I mean, this is a terrible example, but when you buy a Coors Light in, you know, Portland, Oregon, and when you buy a Coors Light in Sarasota, Florida, that's exactly, you know what you're getting.
Right.
There's consistency there, right? But right now, I think from a brand perspective, there's no consistency from state to state, from strain to strain, from brand to brand, things like that. So it'll be interesting when that, you know, I feel like whoever sort of gets that green rush first is going to end up kind of having that brand allegiance because there's going to be that understanding of what consistency is, right? And right now, I think a lot of consumers purchase what they know because that's what they know. And I know that sounds obvious, but there isn't a lot, like, you know what you're getting, right? You don't sort of try out a lot of different things.
Right.
So once you do get that brand that goes nationwide, it's going to be an interesting time, I think. You know,
I'm trying to think of other industries in our lifetime that have gone from
zero.
Not even zero, but straight up illegal. Yeah. Like you can't have this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot do this. You cannot have this to perfectly legal.
Yeah.
And you can walk into a store in certain legal states and buy it. I'm trying to think if there's been anything else.
I can't think of anything.
I can't really think of anything.
Yeah. It has been remarkable how fast a lot of that has happened, I guess, you know, but everything seems to be exponentially going faster and faster. So, yeah, it's interesting. So I think just broadly, it's the answer to the what's the dream client or the dream, you know, isn't necessarily one. It's kind of a mishmash of personalities. It's a mishmash of services, you know, and industries, right? I was waiting for one of us to say our next dream client is you, the listener. Ooh. Dun, dun, dun. But I felt like that was too cheesy.
You just said it.
But I just said it anyway.
All right.
I guess we could edit it out, but we're probably not going to.
We're not going to. All right. Well, on that note, thanks for tuning in. And as always, you can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com or on the socials at mocktheagency.
Yep.
And if you can figure out how to leave us a comment, please do so. And yeah. We're happy to take any sort of feedback or ideas that you want to hear us talk about it. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.